Annals of Family Medicine Author Interviews. Today, Annals of Family Medicine Editor-in-Chief Caroline Richardson sits down to talk with Dr. Joyce Yu Chia Lee, co-author of the article Efficacy and Safety of Use of the Fasting Algorithm for Singaporeans with Type 2 Diabetes, or FAST, during Ramadan, a prospective multi-center randomized controlled trial. The article was published in the March-April 2020 issue of the Annals of Family Medicine. All Annals of Family Medicine articles are open access and available in full at anfammed.org.
So I want to start by just having you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how you came across this idea of studying fasting for your Muslim diabetic patients.
My name is Joyce Lee. I am a clinical pharmacist, and I am also a lecturer at the National University of Singapore when this study took place. And when I start working in that environment, I've noticed that the patient population is just very, very different in terms of their cultural practices and their religion. So I encounter a few patients who actually fast during Ramadan, and sometimes, you know, they come to me and then they will say that, so my doctor told me not to fast. So what should I do with my medication? So that sometimes brings up a question to me of, you know, what exactly is going on with this group of patients. So the reason that we really felt that this particular algorithm is important, sometimes depending on the level of exposure, the healthcare professionals may not feel comfortable looking after this group of patients who are very devoted in their religion. One thing that's most important is really the empowerment that is lacking with current practice, where a lot of times we practice with, you know, it's more like one size fits all, but we feel that we need to have a tool that is actually more religiously sensitive, and we should be able to help our patients. You know, if they really want to fast, you know, is there a way that we can help them to fast safely? When we start to do a few prospective and also retrospective studies, just to look at our own patient population. Initially, we did a retrospective of about 5,000 patients, and we just want to see if there's any changes with their blood glucose. And indeed, we found something that's very interesting. We saw that the blood glucose actually improved during Ramadan. And this is really without any intervention. We just look at their data.
You're trained as a PharmD in the U.S.?
Yes.
But most PharmDs and dietitians and physicians who are trained in the United States, if a patient came to them and said, I have type 2 diabetes and I want to fast for the next 30 days, they would just say no. What made you actually keep an open mind around that?
When we take care of patients, I think in order for them to truly believe in their own care and then be able to be responsible for what they do, they have to believe in it. I think for the longest time, we've seen a lot of patients where they say that, you know, we tell them what to do, and there's a gut feeling that tells us that they probably won't do it. And because they don't really believe in it, and they, for some reason, they don't think that's the way, they don't think they will work. And similar to the patients in Singapore as well, that they have to believe in what they do. And if religion is the reason for them to be good and to get their blood glucose controlled, then I think we should try to advocate and try to figure out, you know, what actually we can do as healthcare professionals. Diabetes is a chronic condition, and there's no cure at this point. So we have to figure out a way to help the patient so that, you know, they are motivated, they continue to be motivated.
So when you presented your algorithm to the dietitians and the other PharmDs and the clinicians that you were working with, how was it received in general?
So, of course, in the beginning, I was a little bit nervous, but they were very, very encouraging. They were more like, we actually have been waiting for something like this. It's just that they have been very, very busy. And me coming from a university, I really had the time to be able to actually practice this kind of a more of a creative work. And so I said that, hey, you know, this is a problem that we have identified. Would you be interested? Anybody with the training who actually see patients with diabetes are able to do it. So I involved endocrinologists. I involved family physicians. I involved clinical pharmacists as well as the nurse practitioners and the diabetes nurse educators to actually have them all come together to actually comment about this particular piece of work.
How did you train them?
Well, I think it was more of a mutual training. They actually have the experience seeing patients who observe Ramadan, so who fast. And some of them also fast themselves. They also observe Ramadan. So they understand, you know, how important it is to be able to practice the religion. But they may not represent the whole of Singapore because, after all, the Muslims are still the minority group. But they tend to see a lot more of those patients because they speak their language as well. They speak Malay.
And you talked about having people test their sugar 4 times a day and adjusting their medications at home depending on what their results are. And you gave them the algorithm for that. Did anyone have trouble following that algorithm?
You know, surprisingly, no. They were able to follow it pretty well. We actually have this separate worksheet where we actually write down all their medications that they're supposed to be using. So we will write down the instructions for that 4 medications. So on the algorithm, you will see all the drug classes, but they're not responsible for all the drug classes. They only are responsible for their own medication. So it actually makes things more focused for them. So they're actually able to follow the medication instructions pretty well. I think the confidence that the healthcare professionals also, the fact that they are being there and advocating them to do this, it gives them the encouragement to do it.
One of the key components of the algorithm is switching from the premix insulin to a long-acting and then the rapid-acting insulin combination. And some people think that, you know, the reason people use the mix or use just long-acting alone is because it's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do the long acting and the rapid acting, if you do it right, you get a lot more flexibility in when you choose to eat. How did patients and doctors and pharmacists and nurses think about switching, making that switch to a more complicated regimen to allow that flexibility?
First of all, we will help them understand how the medication works. And we will tell them that if we increase this, then the other one also get increased, but you actually don't really need it. Then they are convinced, then they will use the 2 separate injections. So patients in general, they are really willing to do this because their motivation of wanting to fast is very strong. So they also know that this is also a short-term period. So they actually don't mind to actually switch over during the short-term period of this 1 month. And then after that, they will actually convert back to their own, the premixed. Yes.
I'd like to sort of shift the conversation. You know, you did a lot of work with culturally tailored intervention here for patients of a specific ethnicity and language and a specific religion. But the idea that people with type 2 diabetes can fast is really kind of mind-blowing for a lot of physicians and dietitians who see a lot of patients with diabetes. Have you found that your ideas of how to help a patient fast have been applicable in other situations besides Ramadan fasting?
Yeah, actually, that's a very good question because nowadays we do talk about intermittent fasting to help lose weight and things like that. But majority of the data comes from people without any chronic diseases. And studies have shown that if intermittent fasting kind of help people who are at risk for diabetes. But when it comes to people with diabetes, already being diagnosed with diabetes, I think the data is not very clear and it's actually very scarce. So this particular study is not meant for encouraging people to fast, encouraging people with type 2 diabetes to fast, but it's more of following the people who actually practice Ramadan. Because when you breakfast and then when you start fasting, there is certain timing that we're talking about. So those adjustments is based on the timing of when you fast and when you break fast. But when it comes to people with type 2 diabetes and who want to fast, it may potentially work, but they need to be followed up very, very closely. So that needs to be careful because there might be a sudden weight increase. We don't really know whether it would happen or not because everybody will fast differently. When it comes to Ramadan, it's quite clear how people fast, right? So they break fast after sunset and they start fasting again when the sun rises. But when it comes to intermittent fasting that is not related to Ramadan, we first of all, we have to find out when are you planning to fast and how long are you going to fast. So all this will make a difference in terms of how we advise the patient. So unless they're going to fast like certain hours of the day, then their medication needs to be adjusted And also the timing needs to be adjusted based on when they plan to fast.
What you just said, that the medication needs to be adjusted based on how people are eating. You know, really, we've grown a system of medication and care for diabetics where instead people are asked to adjust their food to the timing of their medication. And that is a real burden for people, whether they're fasting or just trying to eat their, you know, around their midnight work schedule or whatever it is, it's complicated and it's burdensome for patients. And Victor Montori wrote, he's a fairly well-known diabetes researcher. He talks a lot about making it easy for patients with diabetes to live the lives they want to live. So a lot of the ways that you talk about not ruining people's lives because they have diabetes, and letting people make choices and empowering them to make the choices that work with their own lives. He talks about that quite a bit. But he also wrote a book called Why We Revolt, which is a book about how patients don't always listen to their doctors because their doctors don't listen to them about what's important to them. And so his idea is that we need to match the medicine to the patient's lifestyle, assuming it's a healthy lifestyle, not force patients to change their lifestyle to match the medicine. And I think that's a little bit of what you're getting across in your specific population, but I think it applies much more broadly and much more generally to everyone, that, you know, we should be able to work the pharmacology out of these medications to the point where we can allow more flexibility and more choice. And I do think we're going to find that intermittent fasting, carb fasting, keto diets are becoming a more and more popular and more supported in the literature for people with type 2 diabetes or diabetes prevention efforts. The implication that you can adjust the medications to meet the needs of the patient, it is really innovative and really going to change the way we think about caring for diabetics more generally in the future, and also pre-diabetics and people who are just trying to lose weight.
I think we always want to talk about individualized therapy and rather than one size fits all, because we know already that does not work. And with diabetes, like I said earlier, that it's a chronic disease without cure. We need to find a way so that it can continue to motivate our patients to continue to be healthy and not to feel depressed about the fact that they have a condition where there's no cure. When I see my patients, I always tell them that, you know, having diabetes is not at the end of the world. In fact, we all are supposed to eat healthy anyway. Okay, so having diabetes gives you more reason to stay healthy. But if you monitor your blood glucose and you live healthy, you exercise and you stay active, there's no reason why they cannot get their conditions controlled. You know, I always believe that we need to find the motivating factors. And I hope algorithms such as FAST can be a motivating factor. You know, don't let diabetes take over you. You know, take over diabetes and show who's the boss.
Please visit AnFamMed, spelled ANNFAMMED.org, for more open access primary care research articles. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @AnFamMed.